Merci, Monsieur le Président Chifani, pour vos paroles d'encouragement à un moment où la communauté internationale doit concentrer ses efforts sur la complète éradication de la faim de la surface de la Terre et sur l'approvisionnement sûr et en quantité suffisante d'aliments sains et nutritifs pour une population mondiale qui va dépasser 9 milliards de personnes en 2050. J'aimerais maintenant inviter le secrétaire général des Nations Unies, M. Ban Ki-moon, à prendre la parole.
The Honorable Renato Schifani, President of the Italian Senate, Your Excellencies, distinguished heads of state and government, Mr. Prime Minister of Italy, the Honorable Giovanni Alemano, Mayor of Rome, the Honorable Mr. Jacques Diouf, Director General of FAO, Your Excellency, President of United Nations General Assembly, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. Aujourd'hui, plus de 17 000 enfants mourront de faim en chaque 5 secondes. 6 millions d'enfants par an. Le monde a suffisamment de nourriture. Cependant, aujourd'hui, plus d'un milliard de gens ont faim. C'est inacceptable. La semaine dernière, M. Diouf a demandé une journée de jeûne. Je l'ai fait moi-même hier. Ce n'était pas facile. Mais pour trop de gens, marqués de nourriture, avoir faim est une réalité quotidienne. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome the opportunity to address you at this important event. I would like to acknowledge the presence here today of Ms. José Churán, Executive Director of the World Food Programme, and Mr. Kanayo Unwanje, President of the International Fund for Agricultural Development. Their organizations are central to our work for food security. Food is a basic right. Food and nutritional security are the foundations of a decent life, a sound education, and achievement of Millennium Development Goals. Over the past year, we have witnessed a chain reaction that threatens the very foundation of life for millions of the world's people. Rising energy prices drove up the cost of food and ate away the savings that people otherwise would have spent on health care or education. It is a vicious cycle that impoverishes not only its immediate victims, but all people. The human cost of the food crisis has been enormous. Millions of families have been pushed into poverty and hunger. Suffering on this scale spills over borders. It sets back development and undercuts social order, as we well know. Over the past year and a half, food insecurity led to political unrest in some 30 countries. The world responded with the greatest ever food assistance operations. WFP led the international effort, feeding more than 100 million people a day. Much potential damage was averted. Yet because the underlying problems persist, we will continue to experience such crisis again and again, unless we act now. That is why we are here today. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the food crisis of today is a wake-up call for tomorrow. By 2050, our planet may be the home to 9.1 billion people, over 2 billion more than today. At a time when the global population is growing, our global climate is changing. By 2050, we know we will need to grow 70% more, more food. Yet weather is becoming more extreme and unpredictable. In many parts of the world, water supplies are declining. Agricultural land is drying out. Food security and climate change are deeply interconnected. If the glaciers of Himalaya melt, it will affect the livelihoods and survival of 300 million people in India, in China, and up to a billion people throughout Asia. Africa's small farmers, who produce most of the continent's food and depend mostly on rain, could see harvest drop by 50% by 2020. We must make significant changes to feed ourselves, and most especially to safeguard the poorest and most vulnerable. We must ensure safety nets for those who cannot afford food. We must transform agricultural development, markets, and how food is distributed. We must do so based on a thorough understanding of the issues. That is the only way we can meet the Millennium Development Goals by 2015. Not just MDG 1, to eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, but all the MDGs. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the past year has seen some progress. Nations have put food security high on the agenda. There have been courageous efforts to mobilize more financial resources, improve policies, build partnerships, and agree on the need to reform how global agriculture is governed. The G8 summit in Toyoko, Japan last year was one highlight. There, leaders committed to reverse declines in food aid and investment in agriculture. The president of the European Commission has established a 1 billion euro European food facility. Earlier this year in Madrid, a high-level meeting organized by Spain and the United Nations embraced the concept of global partnership on agriculture, food security, and nutrition. At the July G8 summit in L'Aquila, Italy, 26 nations and 14 international organizations pledged $20 billion to implement national food security plans across the developing countries. I appreciate the leadership of U.S. President Obama and Prime Minister Berlusconi of Italy on this initiative. We must ensure this money is gathered and dispersed promptly. The L'Aquila summit established that our approach must be comprehensive, well-coordinated, with a strong role for the multilateral system, and most importantly, country-led. Many countries, including Brazil, have shown us how we can do this effectively. In the short term, we must continue to respond to the most urgent needs. Our emergency food response must be sustained, well-funded, and we must ensure it will not be hampered by export restrictions or by taxes. Longer term, we need predictable increases in funding to develop sustainable food systems that can withstand shocks such as an economic crisis or climate change. The UN's high-level task force on the global food security crisis has moved substantially in both areas. We have mobilized resources, we have carried out assessments, and responded to immediate and long-term needs, providing food assistance, safety nets, and social protection. We have increased investment in agricultural development, working with the private sector and civil society, farmers groups, and research organizations. And we have worked to help smallholder farmers, especially women. These smallholder farmers are the heart and soul of food security and poverty reduction. They need seeds and extension services. They need secure water supplies, and they need land. They also need to benefit from the higher productivity this will bring. They need better market access and fairer trade. We must resist protectionism and end subsidies that distort markets. This, ladies and gentlemen, lies at the core of food security. Our job is not just to feed the hungry, but to empower the hungry to feed themselves. To do this, we need a comprehensive approach. We must support national food security strategies such as those being implemented under the Comprehensive Africa Agriculture Development Program. We value efforts underway to revitalize the Committee on World Food Security. We expect to see member states, civil society, and the private sector fully involved in its workings. For our part, FAO, IFAD, WFP, and World Bank, and the rest of the UN system will do what we can to make it effective. We must work together to build trust. We need joint investment planning, predictable resources, mutual accountability. Together, we must ensure that food is available and affordable for all. This is at the core of the right to food. Excellencies and ladies and gentlemen, today's event is critical. So is the climate change conference in Copenhagen next month. There can be no food security without climate security. That is why next month in Copenhagen, we need a comprehensive agreement that will provide a firm foundation for a legally binding treaty on climate change. We must reduce emissions that are causing climate change. We must keep global temperature rise below 2 degrees Celsius. We must help the most vulnerable to adapt. At the summit on climate change that I convened in September in New York, world leaders signaled their determination to reach a deal in Copenhagen. Since then, we have continued to see engagement and growing support from the highest level of government. I welcome Danish Prime Minister Rasmussen's invitation for world leaders to come to Copenhagen. I sincerely hope that world leaders will participate themselves to demonstrate their leadership at this crucial, important gathering. Now more than ever, we need the leadership of heads of state and government to resolve the key political issues at the heart of a global deal. Distinguished heads of state and government, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, next year, the General Assembly will measure our progress towards Millennium Development Goals. The MDGs, food security, and climate change are all linked. This week's Food Security Summit, next month's Climate Change Meeting in Copenhagen, and the MDG Summit September next year must craft a single global vision. And they must produce results, real results for people in real need. Results for the 1 billion people who are hungry today. Real result, so millions more will not have to suffer when the next shock hits. The world is impatient for us to make a difference. I too am impatient, and I am committed. You can count on me to support your efforts. And thank you very much.